Simo, the movie dude.
It's a Friday. You know what that means. It means we grab Simo, the movie dude. I grab him forcefully by the shoulders and wrench him onto the phone and say, "Speak to me, Simo. I want you to talk to me about a movie you've seen, and I want you to tell all the great listeners out there." And I shake him up and down, and it's like he's being choked because I'm throwing his body backwards and forth so much. And then he stops and spits out a review. Simo, how are you?
That's a nice way of putting it, Sean, and that is scary accurate. I can still feel the tears on my face from the shaking I receive.
It's the bruises on the shoulders, which are quite alarming. It's a deep purple and pink.
You've got strong hands, and I say that as a compliment.
See, you know what, though? Like, people say, Sean, you've got strong hands. I've actually just got strong thumbs. That's all it is. I've got a lot of strength in my thumbs. I've got these small... The thing is about my fingers, I've got fat hands, not long fingers, but short fingers. It means I've got more muscle in those. So it's quite an advantage I've got over my enemies.
Yeah, see, but with my hands, I know this is completely irrelevant to everything we're talking about, but... My fingers are really long, and I've got what you would call girl's fingernails.
Okay.
Like, you know how some people have really short, stubby fingernails?
Yeah.
Mine are super long, like a lovely lady.
Do you...
Which make me feel dainty.
Dainty. Do you have the white line at the top of the fingernail?
Well, when I don't trim them, but they're just quite big in general, I guess.
Manicurists would love you. They would eat you up for breakfast. Let's talk about a movie. You've seen one of the new releases. I actually had a request for Shazam from Tim, but Tim, we're not doing that. Sorry. What are we doing?
Well, hold on. First of all, Tim, Shazam comes out next week and I will review it.
Oh.
After I see it.
What's Tim...
Don't stress, Tim.
What's Tim talking about? He said, are you reviewing it? But I thought he meant, are you reviewing...
I will review...
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. Don't worry, Tim. I got you.
Sorry, Tim. Tim, I think I've failed you on this point. Let's cover this latest one by Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, okay. This is called Destroyer. So it sounds very edgy and all this kind of, oh, what's going on? Why are we so angry? And that pretty much sums up the whole movie. It's an angry, edgy movie. Nicole Kidman plays the lead role. She is a police officer who has gone through some stuff, Sean. Mm. She used to be FBI. She was an undercover agent where she kind of infiltrated, I guess you'd call them almost like a Manson-like cult.
Yep.
Where one guy was the boss and everyone kind of went along with it. And she got embroiled in some undercover operations, but that's all in her past. And it's really affected her because suddenly the leader of the cult has reappeared.
Oh, dear.
20 years later.
Yeah, okay. So before we get more into the plot here, Nicole Kidman, has she ever done an action film? In fact, when was the last film that she's done? I remember in The Others... that's a horror film. Has he done anything action or edgy?
Well, now you mentioned it, Sean. She was in Aquaman about a few months ago.
Oh, I did not know that.
She played Aquaman's mum.
Oh, okay. So she's having a bit of a fight back on the Hollywood scene.
Yeah, she seems to be choosing some more mainstream appeals, but this isn't a mainstream movie. It's another one of those kind of indie art house things that probably a lot of people haven't heard of and probably a lot of people haven't even seen.
Yeah.
You can see why she chose this movie, though, because it's entirely about her and she's... You know how when actors really want to stand out, they do a role that, oh, I never would have thought that person would play that kind of character, and that's what Nicole Kidman's doing. She's got really short, just scungy brown hair. Her face, she doesn't wear any makeup. She's wearing old clothes through the whole thing. We're allowed to say it because it's true. She looks horrible, absolutely horrible, and it's all on purpose just to show, you know, the tortured kind of cop character, which is something you're so used to seeing kind of a dude play as, you know, oh, I'm a grizzled detective, I don't care. She's doing that.
Mm. So she's kind of doing like, oh, I've forgotten his name. She's kind of doing like a, Who's the man? Fool's gold. He was all, yeah, like Texan.
Matthew McConaughey.
So she's basically doing a Matthew McConaughey trying to reinvent herself with this one.
Yeah, a little bit. It's trying to be like, hey, guys, remember, I can act. And, okay.
Plot.
So the film, it's set in L.A. Like I said, there was, she used to be an FBI undercover operative who infiltrated kind of a gang to try and obviously arrest them, that sort of thing. She was there with a partner who was also undercover with them, so they had to pose as a couple, like this super grungy biker couple that were trying to infiltrate this gang and find out answers, blah, blah, blah. But something went wrong. And now, 20 years later, she's completely broken as a person. She's got a daughter that she doesn't have custody of. She doesn't see much. She's going a bit off the rails as well. And then all of a sudden, the movie begins with a body being found. Oh. And there is a hint that the cult leader she infiltrated as an FBI agent is back in town. And she now is on basically the war path. She wants to find out where he is, track him down, and bring him to justice. And she's going to do it like every good cop does, by herself and off the book.
And she just wants to destroy anyone and everyone until she destroys this man, because she is the destroyer.
Sean, that's it. You've nailed it.
Great.
And just talk about like the actual overall effect of the movie. It's interesting for Nicole Kidman and all this kind of stuff. It does feel quite generic. I'm a badass cop. This is what I'm doing. Some things I almost found a little bit far-fetched, because she's playing an alcoholic. She's playing someone who basically sleeps in her car. She never changes her clothes, all this kind of stuff. And yet, she's still a bit more alert than you would think of in some action scenes. And it's sort of like, you know, you're still moving a bit fast, and I don't think you can run that far the way you've portrayed this entire thing.
Yeah, you're wearing baggy jeans. You can't kick like that in baggy jeans. Everyone knows denim is impossible to kick with.
Yeah, and this movie's trying to pride itself on being a realistic depiction of, you know, somebody who's clearly had PTSD and all this sort of stuff. But in some moments, they do make her a little bit of a superhero in that she can take a bit of punishment and she keeps moving on. But apart from that, Sean, it's a solid little crime noir film.
Is there a twist? Are we talking about a twist here?
Well, Sean, you know when you say there's a twist that everyone's always going to be looking for a twist? I'm not going to say there's a twist. I'm not going to say there's not a twist. But I will say that it veers off in a way that you might not have expected.
And we liking that? So I'm getting such mixed messages from you. You're like that girl you find on Tinder and you just don't know. Are you in on this or are you out?
Yeah, I'm currently Tindering you, Sean. I'm very on the fence about this one.
Oh.
Because it's a well-made movie. The script is kind of generic. Nicole Kidman is great in it, but that's probably all I can really like about it. I would say it's worth it if you really like kind of gritty crime dramas, if you really like undercover cop things. You can call a lot of these plot points really early on into the story, but like I said, something might give you a little bit of surprise near the end, which I did enjoy that little surprise. This is, you know, 3 angry Nicole Kidmans out of 5.
3 angry Nicole Kidmans, but I feel like you're fluctuating from 2.5 to 3.5 at the stage. It's like 3 plus or minus 0.5.
Look, you're on the ball there, Sean. There is some fluctuations there, and you know, a lot of people have been praising this movie, being like, oh, it's such a comeback performance by Nicole Kidman. She's good in it, but, you know, I'm not going to froth over it.
She is good in a lot of movies, though. Like, as I said before, she starred in a few. I mean, Australia, The Others, they're just a few of her not-so-good tracks, movies, rather. She's done heaps of good ones, including the one that I want to review today, which is one of my favourite movies. Probably my favourite Baz Luhrmann movie, I'd say. Of course, I'm speaking about
Australia?
No! Moulin Rouge?
Moulin Rouge, yes, I know, Sean.
Why are you acting so disappointed? I thought you'd be excited. Moulin Rouge is a great film.
Oh, it's Baz Luhrmann, Sean. Please just explain to me why you love Moulin Rouge.
Are you not a Baz Luhrmann fan?
I am a Baz Luhrmann fan to an extent. I like The Great Gatsby. Mm. Romeo and Juliet is good. Mm. That's pretty much all I could kind of take.
Even Great Gatsby was a bit too much for me. If you're unaware of Baz Luhrmann's style of directing, and you might be, and he's an Australian director, so you should see some of his stuff. It's very, how do I describe it? A lot of bright colours, very over the top, almost like theatre in cinema, basically. A lot of overacting, very fast and stuff. Is that a good way to describe? Some of the techniques I'm not aware of because I didn't go to film school, but it's unique. It's very distinctive.
Yeah, it's like flamboyant, over the top, popping colours everywhere. It's like being inside like a disco for every single movie.
It is a little bit full on as well. But Moulin Rouge is sort of definitely, the plot fits his style because it's talking about the Moulin Rouge. It was in Paris, pretty close to Montmartre, is the suburb, I suppose you'd call it, or the area. On that strip, the name I can't remember, but you may remember this big red windmill, which is the Moulin Rouge. Basically, it's a very fancy burlesque house which does shows. One of the dancers is the lovely Nicole Kidman. Her name, the actual character name, escapes me at this stage. But basically, she's very pretty. She's great at dancing, which is funny because I can understand and respect that Nicole Kidman is classically attractive, but she doesn't appeal to me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Sean, I can see where you're coming from. Sean, you don't have to be attracted to every movie you watch. That's okay.
Anyway, I'll get into the plot. So Ewan McGregor, he's an English boy, I suppose, and he comes down to Moulin Rouge and he's immediately taken away by Nicole Kidman. He wants to write. He's a writer by trade. And somehow he gets caught up. I haven't seen this for a while. Somehow he gets caught up with trying to basically court Nicole Kidman. The owner of the Moulin Rouge, he comes in and he wants to shut it down. He wants to destroy the show, but he actually falls in love with Nicole Kidman as well. Somehow the manager of the Moulin Rouge works together with Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman and the other cast of the Moulin Rouge show members to make this big one and only night thing of a Moulin Rouge show. And it's a musical. And there's heaps of songs. And the plot might be really basic, but that's what Baz Luhrmann's all about. I mean, who cares about a plot when you've got pretty colours and big dancing and there's a song which is so exciting. And it's great. It's absolutely great.
Look, you're not wrong, Sean. It's pretty much exactly how you described it. It's generic sort of boy meets girl, wants to impress girl kind of thing and all this. Oh, yeah, we want to. But it's got a Baz Luhrmann splash all over it, which is over the top, extravagant, flamboyant, sparkly, colourful. You know, you're either on board with them or you're not.
Yeah. I like Baz Luhrmann films, but I think I need to sort of watch them maybe once a year. And if you include his whole range of movies, then you only sort of see Moulin Rouge every 5 or 6 years, which is probably the last time I watched it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, too much Baz Luhrmann can make you sick in a row.
Well, yeah. But Ewan McGregor's really good. Nicole Coleman's really good. Nicole Kidman's really good. There's plenty more. Nicole Coleman is a girl from my primary school. How crazy. A slip of the tongue.
Get off Facebook, Sean.
I'm not on Facebook. I don't even have her on Facebook. Anyway, I didn't mind it. Thinking back on it, it's really enjoyable, but I couldn't watch it right now. You have to be in a real particular mood. I'd probably give it a strong 3 out of 5 as well. Pasty Nicole Kidman's.
Honestly, the best kind of Nicole Kidman.
Well, it's the only kind, really. Even if she's angry Nicole Kidman, happy Nicole Kidman, superhero Nicole Kidman, then she's still kind of pale. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, sure.
We call a spade here. We call a pale spade a pale spade.
Now I feel like you're attacking me.
I don't know why I'm dragging this out. You've been listening to Simo and myself talking about movies. It is a Friday. That's what we like to do. Simo, thanks for joining me.
Sean, I'll catch you next week.